Samanta Chakvalisu Atraga Chandudu Vata Sadamam Muni Rajas Sunantu Sangha Mokadam Dhamma Savanakalu Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanakalu Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanakalu Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti piso bhagava arahaṁ sammā sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anattaro purisa dhamma sārati Satta deva manusānaṁ buddho bhagavāti Svākhāto bhagavata dhammo sandittiko akāliko Ehi pāsiko upanayiko pacchattaṁ veditambo viññohīti Supatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Ujupatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Nyāyapatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Sāmīcipatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Yadidam chattari purisa yugani atta purisa pungala Esa bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Āhuneyo pāhuneyo dakkineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttaraṁ puñya ketaṁ lukasāti Etena satcha vanjena pātu tvaṁ ratanattayaṁ Etena satcha vanjena pātu tvaṁ ratanattayaṁ Etena satcha vanjena pātu tvaṁ ratanattayaṁ Karaniya matta kusalena yantaṁ santaṁ padaṁ abhisamecha Sākho jocha so jocha suvacho chasa mudu anatimāni Santo sako cha subaro cha appakicho cha salla uka utti Santindrayo cha nipako cha appagambo kulesu ananu gindu Nacha kuddhaṁ samācare kiñci yena viññu pare upavadeyum Sukhino vāke mino hantu sabbe satta bhavantu sukhitattha Yeke cipāna bhūtate tasāvā tāvarāvā anavasesa Dīgāvā ye mahāntāvā manjimā rasakānu katūlā Dittāvā yeva addittāye chadure vasanti avidure Bhūtāvā sambhavesīvā sabbe sattā bhavantu sukhitattā Naparo parang niko bheta nati manyita katta chinang kanchi Vyaro sanu padiga sanya nanya manyasa dukkha micheya Mata yataniyang puttang ayusa eka putta manurakke Evampi sabba bhūtesu manasaṁ bhāvaye aparimānaṁ Mettaṃ ca sabbalokasmiṃ manasaṃ bhāvaye aparimānaṃ Undaṃ adocatiriyaṃ ca asambhādaṃ avaraṃ masapattaṃ Thittaṃ caraṃ nisinno vāsayāno vāyāvatassa vigataṃ endo Etaṃ satiṃ adetteya brahma metaṃ viharaṃ midamāhu Nitiṃ ca nupagamma sillavā dassaneno sampanno Kāmesu vinīya gedaṃ nahi jātu gabbaseyaṃ punareti Etena sacca vañjena sottite hotu sambadaṃ Etena sacca vajjena sambarogo vinasatu Na sacca vajjena hotu te jaya mangalam Yang dun nimitang ava mangalam ca yo ca manapo sakuna sasandu Papa gahadu supinam akantang bundanu bhavena vinasamintu Yang dun nimitang ava mangalam ca yo ca manapo sakuna sasandu Papa gahadu supinam akantam dhammanu bhavena vinasamintu Yang dun nimitang ava mangalam ca yo ca manapo sakuna sasandu Papa gahadu supinam akantam sanghanu bhavena vinasamintu Sambhitiya vivajjantu sambarogo vinasatu Mate bhavala vandarayo sukhi digayuko bhava Bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkantu sabba devata Sambha buddhanu bhavena sada sutti bhavantute Bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkantu sabba devata Sambha dhammanu bhavena sada sutti bhavantute Bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkantu sabba devata Sabba sanghanu bhavena sada sutti bhavantute Nakatta yakka bhutanam papagah nivarana Paritassanu bhavena hantu te saṃ upaddave Dukkha patāca niddukkha bhāya patāca nibbhāya Sokappadācani soka hantu sabbe vipānino Sabbe buddha balappatta paccekā nañcayaṃ balaṃ Arahanda nañca tejena rakkhaṃ bandhāmi sabbasso Ākāsathāca bhummattā devānāga mahiddhikā Puññantaṃ anumoditvā ciraṃ rakkhantu sambuddha sāsanaṃ Ākāsathāca bhummattā devānāga mahiddhikā Puññantaṃ anumoditvā ciraṃ rakkhantu sambuddha desanaṃ Ākāsathāca bhummattā devānāga mahiddhikā Puññantaṃ anumoditvā ciraṃ rakkhantu sambuddha sāvakaṃ Ciraṃ rakkhantu maṃ paraṃ ciraṃ rakkhantu taṃ sadā. Dusā, dusā, dusā. Maybe some of you are familiar with the story how this the future Sariputta at the time was called Upatissa, and the future Mahamoggallana at that time known as Kolita, how they came to become the Buddha's disciples. So I'll briefly go through it before we come to the important topic, the theme of tonight. So at one time, when the Arahant Asaji was walking on the road, mindfully going for alms round, then this young man, the future Sariputta, Upatissa, he saw the wonderful demeanor, the carriage, the conduct, the mindful conduct of this Venerable Asaji. So he was so inspired, he thought, if there is any saint that we will call saint or arahant in the world, this must be one. So he followed closely, but he thought, this is not the right time to ask Dhamma to disturb the monk. So he followed and wait until this Venerable Asaji finished his arms round. After he has finished, taken his food, then he went forward. He thought, this is the right time to ask. Then he said, you are so bright and so inspiring. So who is your teacher? And what does he teach? And then Venerable Asaji answered to this Upatissa, saying that the teacher is was Buddha. And then and say, I'm new to this religion. He was very humble and also tried to humble down these heretics, he was thinking. So sometimes these outsiders, they are proud. So it's good to say, I am new to this religion. I only know a little of this religion, not so much. I cannot give you the teaching in a comprehensive way, but in a gist, I may be able to give. Then there's Upatissa. He say, well, I'm Upatissa. I can understand quickly. Just the substance, just a summary, the gist will be sufficient for me. And then this Venerable Asaji recited the famous verse. Ye dhamma hetu pabhava, te sang hetung tathagatvaha, te sang chayo nirodo, evang vadi maha samano. This you have listened, you have heard Siara explain about it. Things arise. Dhammas arise because of conditions. This the Buddha, the Tathagata, expounded it. And also the Buddha Tathagata expounded about the cessation of conditions. And when things cease, everything ceases. Things is because of the various conditions supporting its cease. And this was mentioned, declared by the Mahasamana, the great Samana, the great, means the Buddha. So basically this is talking about dependent origination. Also pointing to Four Noble Truths. So this Sarah has explained, then I won't go into it. Then, halfway, just by hearing, things arise because of the conditions. Then this Venerable, at that time, this young man, this Upatissa, the future Sariputta, he became Sotapat, the first stage of, attaining the first stage of sainthood. Then this is enough. He was so happy. He wanted to go back to share this with his friend, his close friend, Kulita, because they have a pact between themselves. Whoever has seen the deathless, seen the truth, must immediately inform the other so that the other also come to it. They have been sharing very wonderful, good friendship long, long ago, since the past Buddha's time. And both are destined, were destined to be the chief disciple of a Buddha, Gautama Buddha. So he went to inform this Kulita, and Kulita also, by the time Venerable this Upatissa finished the verse, finished the gathas, then Kulita also became Sotapan. So both of them have seen Nibbana now. Both have seen Four Noble Truths now. So they thought they need to go to tell the teacher and also other friends. So when they tell the teacher was Sanjaya. So he told the teacher. So when the teacher saw them coming, asked them, have you found the deathless? Yes, sir, we have found the deathless. Deathless means Nibbana. So you say, then from whom? Huh? They say from the Buddha as appear in the world. So both of them invite the teacher to join and also told to the other fellow practitioners, truth seekers, to join them to find the Buddha. But this teacher of Upatissa and Kulita, Sanjaya, was not willing. He said, no, you go, I don't want to go. I have become a teacher now. It is very difficult for me to be a student again. Then they tried to persuade him, no, don't say like that. So many people, when the Buddha has appeared in the world, so many people bring flowers, everything, all to go, flock to the Buddha to listen to Dhamma. Please come along. You know, because your teaching have not any substance, you know, not substantial. So why not go to the learn from the Buddha? No, he said, no. Then, in fact, Sanjaya said, no, I'm not going. He asked back this question. He said, how is the thing in the world that, are there more people who are wise or more people who are stupid? Then the answer, the student, Skolita and Upatissa, they were answering, saying that, oh, the stupid one, the stupid fox in the world, ignorant one are more, the wise one are less. Then the Sanjaya say, well, let those few wise ones go to the wise Gotama. Let those many stupid ones come to the stupid me. Well, it must be them stupid. Very stupid. Huh? He thought, he wants to be, remain to be the teacher. He thought, he can be the teacher of the majority, the stupid ones. More stupid people in the world. So let them come to me, let the stupid me. Let the wise few go to the wise Gotama. Even if he actually by saying so, he recognized the wisdom of the Buddha, but he didn't want to go. Even when a student has seen the deathless, he didn't want to go. He just wanted to remain to be a teacher. So later on, the future Sariputta and future Mahamoggallana, at that time, Kulita and Upatissa, they brought half of the students split into half. Half left together with Sariputta and this Kulita and Upatissa, the future Sariputta and Mahamoggallana, went to the Buddha and ordained. And later, they attained Arahantship. Then, so they went to the Buddha. So, 现在可能有一个佛时代的故事, 可能你们有些都熟悉, 但我会简单的讲一讲。 那就在曾经有一次阿萨基尊者, 他就这个当时他已经是阿罗汉, 在路上或托钵走着的时候, 他的举止, 他的正念是非常的殊胜, 然后, 整个人也很明亮, 那么, 这时呢, 这个未来的舍利佛尊者, 当时他名叫乌巴迪萨, 他看到了, 他就想, 如果说, 世间真的有阿罗汉有圣者的话, 这一位一定是了了, 他就想, 可是他想, 现在是他托钵时间不适合, 去干扰他, 他就跟着他, 等他托钵完毕, 坐下来, 吃饱后, 全部好了过后, 他才走上前去, 去跟他说, 尊者, 看到您这么殊胜的这个举止, 那么我想您一定是有很好的老师, 谁是您的老师呢? 那么这个阿萨基尊者呢, 就说我的老师是佛陀, 那他没问, 你的老师佛陀教的法, 教些什么法呢? 那这个阿萨基尊者就想, 哎呀, 这些外道呢, 也常常都比较傲慢, 所以, 他就, 也不要讲说自己很懂佛陀的法, 他说我刚刚入门, 懂得不多, 我只能够讲很简短的法给你听而已, 只能讲, 他讲, 没关系, 我是乌巴迪萨, 我能够一点点东西, 我很快就能够领悟, 这也是老实话了, 这真实的话, 那么只要你讲精华就给我听就好了, 于是呢，这个阿萨基尊者就念了这个著名的偈子：“从因生之法，如来说其因，即彼等之灭，此大沙门说。”那么这个听起来比较，这是准确的翻译了。我比较容易理解的一般性的翻译是：“诸法因缘生，诸法因缘灭，我佛大沙门常作如是说。”这个是经过改装了的翻译了。那么一简单重要的整个精华就在于这个因缘生因缘灭，诸法因缘生诸法因缘灭里头。那么当这个乌巴蒂萨就是未来的舍利弗尊者，他一听到从因生之法，如来说其因，单单到这里的时候呢，他已经觉悟成为出果圣者。这是非同小可，听起来好像很简单，可是在一个大智慧的人，有过去已经修了无数世的，常常都修到行舍智的大智慧者来说呢，这一点点的点破就已经足够了。因为他一点就点出了那个因缘，他不用讲因缘灭，只讲因缘生而已，他就已经觉悟成为出果圣者。这个是因缘，是非常奥妙的。懂的人只要听到一点，他就会有很深很深刻深广的领悟，所以他就成了出果圣者。他就很高兴，他想好，这就够了，暂时到这里就够了，我要回去。因为他已经体证了涅槃，他回去报告他的好朋友古利达。这个好朋友呢，是他们在过去从过去佛时代生生世世陪着菩萨行菩萨道的路程上，他们都一而再的陪着我们的释迦牟尼佛过去菩萨道的时候陪伴他修行。所以那时呢，他们两位一直累积了很好很深厚的信任和友情。所以那个时候呢，他想他们之前就有一个大家合约，就是说如果有谁先见法，就是体证涅槃，见到无始之后呢，涅槃就是无始，我们讲无始是指涅槃，因为涅槃不生不灭，它就无始。那见到无始过后呢，要告诉另一个，好，他们就有了这样的合约。那么当这个乌巴蒂萨，这个未来的舍利弗尊者，他一体证到涅槃的时候呢，他第一个反应就是要告诉他的朋友，他就想好，到此为止，我要先回去告诉我的朋友，然后就跑回去。然后这时呢，这个郭利达呢，一看到了，哎，今天我这个同伴真的有一点非同凡响，一眼看起来就特别不一样，他就问他，他心想，那这个他开始有见法了吧？问他，你是否有见法了？他说是啊，我见到无始了。那么，哎呀，那是怎么样？他一讲，他就描述他的过程，然后念出了那个偈子。诸法因缘生，诸法因缘灭，我佛大沙门常作如是说。或者是准确的翻译是：从因生之法，如来说其因，即彼等之灭，此大沙门说。这样，所以一听完的过后呢，这个未来的目犍连尊者，这个郭利达，他就一听完过后，整个偈子一听完，他就成为出果圣者。舍利弗尊者是听完一半，他就成了出果圣者。这个目犍连尊者是听完整个偈子过后呢，成了出果圣者。那真的，那他是呢，他们两个的见法，他们想一定要他们一定要来找佛陀，但是呢，怎样也要告诉他的老师。他知道他的老师三加亚，他的教法呢没有内涵，所以呢，他就一定要来带他的老师和同伴们呢一同来修法，来向佛陀学习。然后他就找到他老师，他老师问他们：“哎，你们见法了没有？见到了无始了没有？因为据说你们要去找无始。”好，他们说找到了，找到了。好，怎么样呢？他就讲了过后呢，他就讲：“老师啊，请跟着我们呢，大家一起去见佛陀吧。”那这时呢，这个三家他说：“不行不行，我已经当了人家老师这么久，怎么还去当人家的学生呢？”我去做惯了老师，怎么还去做学生呢？那但是呢，他们尝试说服他老师，说现在有佛出现在世间，很多人都拿着香花贡品去礼敬佛陀，我们应该去，我们应该跟着一起去向佛陀学习。他说不行， 我不去，我做了老师就不想再做学生了。然后他就说，那你们想想，世上聪明的人比较多呢，还是愚蠢的人比较多？那他们说，聪明的人少，愚蠢的人多。那他就，那就是了，让少数的聪明人去找聪明的乔达摩，就是佛陀，让多数的愚蠢的人来找愚蠢的我。哎，真的是很愚蠢，他就这么想，他说这么说，所以呢，我不要再去当学生了，当老师就好。于是呢，这个格利达跟乌巴蒂萨就带了他们的学生之间就分了一半，有一半是要跟着旧的老师，一半啊250位就跟着这个两位大师兄呢，就跟着去找佛陀。那么走的时候呢，这散家就还吐血的。后来他们去到这个佛见到佛陀过后呢，那么他们很快的，他们都证了阿罗汉。后来佛陀还立这两位果利乌巴蒂萨就立为佛陀身边的大弟子，上首第一位佛过后就是他的大弟子。然后这个目犍连尊者，后来那个当时是库利达就成了这个第二位上首弟子。Allow me to make a little diversion this point. When come to this point, that the Buddha, later when they all became Arahant, the Buddha appointed this Upatissa, who was then known as Sariputta, to be the first chief disciple, and then the Kulita to be the second chief disciple. Known to be Mahamoggallana. Sariputta is known foremost in wisdom, and Mahamoggallana was foremost in psychic powers. So at that time, already there were people who ordained and became bhikkhu under the Buddha. The first five bhikkhus who first got enlightened when listened to Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, and then the Yasa and his friends, 61 of them, and then there was a 1,000 Kassapa brothers and his 3 Kassapa brothers, and all that altogether, and the thousands the fire worshippers who became Arahant also. So you see so many people ahead, but the Buddha appointed this Sariputta and Mahamoggallana to be the chief disciple. So at one time, people were questioning, why? Why the Buddha allow the latecomers to be the senior who walk behind the Buddha? So some people even want to question, saying that the Buddha was not fair. Those who have enough faith in the Buddha, they wouldn't question. Those who did not have enough faith, they questioned. And then because of that, the Buddha also mentioned the past aspirations how these great disciples have accumulated, this Sariputta and Mahamoggallana has accumulated merits to be the chief disciples long, long ago, and has been confirmed by previous Buddhas. So because of the merits only, the Buddha say, because of the merits, the Buddha differentiate because of the merits, because of the aspiration, the difference of aspiration only. So those who deserve this position came out in this position. So it's not the Buddha couldn't blindly, couldn't arrange. Of course, the Buddha did not set the seniority in that way. Saying that who come first. The Buddha allowed the latecomers to surpass the earlier ones because of the special conditions only. So the Buddha distinguished. Some people say discriminate, but actually it's distinguish. Distinguish the individual based on their conditions. Is this impartiality or is it partiality? So people are questioning. No. It is still impartial. In the suttas, it says that all the Buddhas and all the Arahants, they always have an impartial mind. It is impossible for them to have partiality. They don't discriminate because of I. When we talk about discrimination, partiality, it talks about I. I am the one that differentiate. I like, I don't like. Whom I like, I favor. Whom I don't like, I don't favor. But the Buddha and the Arahants were not like that. They only distinguish based on the conditions only. Suppose Buddhism is not communism. Communism is whether you work hard or you don't work hard, they try to give you fair, equal pay. But not like that. The Buddha's is not like that. The Buddha's impartiality is not blind impartiality. The Buddha's impartiality is impartial to all the conditions, like the great earth. The big tree will get more essence, more nutrients from the earth. But the little grass get a little. Same. The mind of the Buddha, the Arahants are like that. They are impartial. But they distinguish, not because of I. Ordinary people, when they discriminate because of the selfish desire. From the selfish point, viewpoint, selfish standpoint, they discriminate. This one favor me, these people give me good feelings, so I favor. That person give me bad feelings, I don't favor. But for the Buddha, it's not like that. They don't gain or lose because of things like that. They don't have this feeling of what getting, gaining or losing. It's just conditions only. When these people, these two great disciples, they have cultivated all the merits of great disciples for so long, which other people have not done. So because of that, they deserve to be in that position, to be in the leadership position, because only they can take up the role of leadership, because their ability, their wisdom, their psychic powers are foremost. You cannot put another person who lacks this ability to be in that position. So, and the Buddha he's a all-knowing, perfectly wise, so he is in that, he was in that position to distinguish. So this we need to understand. Why I want to tell you this? Because among us, there are so many of us have suffered unnecessary suffering, wrong thoughts, wrong feelings, because of our wrong expectation for fairness, for impartiality. We have a wrong understanding of impartiality. We have a wrong understanding of fairness. We only want things to be fair superficially, without knowing that there are underlying conditions, karma, and etc., which ordinary wisdom cannot penetrate. So when we say, this is unfair, actually, nothing is unfair. Even the most unfair things, this is unfair superficially. Ultimately, everything happened because of conditions only. This understanding can give us a lot of acceptance to all the differences in the world, all the different encounters, different experience. If we have a wrong expectation for fairness, for impartiality, we are going to suffer, because natural law doesn't work that way. And also the teacher never do like that. The teacher has to be honest to his wisdom. The teacher cannot leave the wisdom, the ignorance of the student. The teacher has to leave his own wisdom. According to Dhamma, he has to understand by his level best, not by the student's level best. So often, students suffer. People suffer because of a wrong expectation, thinking that it must be this way, like that way, only it is fair, which is not true. And if we have a false expectation and false notion, then we are going to suffer for that, because things will not work out according to our whims and fancies. So this is very important. So for that reason, I make this diversion while we come to this story. Then we'll come to the main point later. 请允许我再就在这一点个别的讲讲一个我觉得 可以帮助大家减少很多思想上的苦恼的一个问题。你看，就在这里，当时佛陀立这个舍利弗尊者跟目犍连尊者为上首弟子的时候，也就是说佛过后呢，就是舍利弗尊者跟目犍连尊者，这时已经有了别的人出家了，最先无比丘，过后又有那个60个亚萨带领的比丘，接下来还有一个1000个拜火教的那个信徒，他们都成了阿罗汉，他们先出家。但是佛陀竟然把这个舍利弗尊者跟目犍连尊者立为上首弟子，当时就有人发出这个问题：佛陀公平吗？让先来的人排在后面，让后来的人排来前面，公平吗？佛陀应该有平等心的，为什么会这样子呢？是佛陀没有平等心，他们想。其实这是他们的错误，从那一个时代开始就有人对平等心有了错误的理解。他们认为平等心就要像今天的共产主义一样，勤奋做工懒惰做工一样的薪水，一样是大锅饭，那谁要勤奋？科学家跟农夫跟倒垃圾的一样的待遇，谁要勤奋？谁要做科学家这样辛苦去读书去磨练？所以其实佛和阿罗汉们他们肯定是有平等心的，可是他们分辨是因缘。因为佛陀就讲，借那个机会就讲解了这个舍利弗尊者跟目犍连尊者他们在过去佛时代所种下的因缘，所发过的愿，所得到的受记。当时很久很久，比别人更久以前，他们就受开始累积功德，就发愿要成上首弟子。所以累积了走了那么久的路，陪着我们的菩萨，在菩萨道上陪伴着他，共同的磨练，共同的修行，就走了那么远的路。现在他迟到了，可是他的功德是不迟的。所以其他的弟子即使是比较早开悟，比较早证阿罗汉道果，比较早出家，但是他们没有这样的能耐，那种力量，那种智慧和大智慧大神通，所以要统领这个僧团，带领僧团，他们没有那样的力量。而要做佛陀上首弟子，必须要有那种力量，那种波罗蜜，所以佛陀自然的就立他们两位，舍利弗尊者是智慧第一的，上首弟子第一位，然后这个目犍连尊者是神通第一的大弟子。所以呢，佛跟阿罗汉们他们也会分辨的，但他们分辨不是因为自私的心去分别，那不是一个自私的分别心。我们所谓一般的自私的分别心是以自我为判断，你对我好我爽，那我就对你好，我照特别优待你，你对我不好，你我就特别的歧视你。不是的，他们不是的，他们是无我的，带着无我的心，只是看因缘，因缘多少就多少，是怎么样就怎么样，所以因缘而分辨。你其实也只有这样才是平等的，因为如果一个勤奋的人你没有给他更好的待遇，懒惰的人没有给他比较少一点的待遇，那就不公平了，对不对？那么问题是一般人只看表面的因素，没有看到过去是过去累积而来的那种功德因缘。可是佛他分辨的时候呢，是把所有的因缘都考量在里头，所以他自然的就分辨，他考量的成分是很多一般的人是无法考量到的因素。所以一般的人用他们的眼光来判佛陀，肯定出问题，甚至会造恶业。因为佛陀考量的因缘远远超越世上的人，所以佛陀考量的因缘，如果从佛陀考量的因缘来看，你是多少因缘就多少事，是什么样的地位就怎么样的地位，所以就扮演怎么样的角色，所以是非常公平的事，一点都没有不公平。可是世人因为看不到过去因缘， 所以他就觉得很不公平。这一点要讲给大家听，是要大家谨慎，因为很多时候大家是因为这个对公平平等的错见，有错误的要求和苦恼，起了那么多的杂念，那么多的愤愤不平，因为不了解因缘。了解因缘的话，这些愤愤不平的念头杂念就会放下了，就会过去了，就很容易的接受生命中的一切机遇。很多的不平其实都是平等的，都是公平的，只是我们还是需要维持表面的公平。过去时是过去时，如果是有人来偷的东西，你还是需要给他收，叫警察去把他抓起来，不然的话他会继续的招恶，你会害死他。所以社会上的赏罚制度还是需要的，团体里面也是需要的。如果生团里面有人犯了大忌中戒的话，还受到关，还不给他排除出去的话，那么很多人都很不介意，也不害怕，就犯戒，要犯戒就犯戒。所以佛陀还有断头戒，那个人一犯了断头戒，一辈子都不能够，再也不能够做比丘或者比丘尼，原因就在这里。他们那种因缘已经到了严重到再也承担不起继续穿着那个袈裟的时候，他就必须出去，因为为了整体的好，也为了不要让他继续造恶业，他也再也承担不起别人的供养等等。这是因缘，不是平等，就是好人坏人全部算在一起。平等心跟因缘平等是不同的，平等心是因为无我，像大地一样，大树得到大树的滋养，小草得到小草的滋养，大树得到多，小草得到少， 大地也没有分辨，众生因缘自己分辨。所以佛阿罗汉们也没有特别的起分别心，是众生的因缘让他们个别的处理，这样而已。所以这点要明白。So we need to understand, the only if this, it can only be fair if those who are hardworking, they get more compensation, more wages, higher wage, and enjoy better things, and those who are lazy,they do not deserve so much, they don't get so much. This is only fair. It is not unfair. We need to know like that. But the difference is that the Buddha could penetrate all the various deep, far, long ago, all the various conditions. But ordinary people, they do not have that ability. That's why it is good not to judge the wiser mind. In the sutta, it says the wise can know the foolish.Those who know, but the foolish cannot know the wise. This is very important. But still, we need to maintain superficial fairness. Suppose if you are a judge, you are the police, you are the governor, you need to, in order to inspire, encourage people to do good, you need to keep those, people who steal, you need to put them into jail and then bring them to court and make them compensate and pay for what the wrong they've done in order to help people to encourage people to do good, to make the conditions of cause and effect more apparent. Yes, we need to do that. That's why even in the Sangha, the Buddha has these rules, various rules. If you made a mistake, you need to undergo certainprocedure as a kind of a reprimand or things like that. They call it punishment, but not really punishment, but just a reminder, a kind of method to help them to change, to help the monks. If they make a mistake, they should change. But there are also these things called parajika. If a person commits a very serious offense, then he's no more qualified to be a monk throughout that life. Why is it so? Why shouldn't you make the same? Those who commit serious offense and those who commit light offense, all the same. You cannot. If they do like that, if the conventional wisdom is applied in this way, then definitely it will be havoc. People won't have any restraint. There will be plenty of people who are ready to commit serious wrongs. Sometimes when they think they still have opportunity to come back, then they say, well, never mind, enjoy my life first, break the rules first. Then after that, I still have a chance to come back. That's why somehow we need to have a certain rule, which if a person break it, there's no hope. At least for this life. In future, yes. No hope for this life. No hope for turning back. You can still learn Dharma, but no more for wearing the ropes. No more chance. This is wise distinguishment. Wise discrimination based on conditions only. Not because of an ego, not because of a self, not because of the Buddha has a selfish desire. No. The Buddha is completely free from all selfish desire. All the arahants also. But they distinguish because of conditions only. So for that, if we understand like that, we will have a lot of acceptance towards whatever that we experience, instead of having a lot of unfair feeling, unjust feeling, thinking that unfair, this is unfair, that is unfair. We will just accept a lot of acceptance to whatever that we happen to us. So this is also one way we can free ourselves from a lot of this category of wandering thoughts. 所以呢, 这也是让我们呢, 克服 这一类的杂念。 然后呢, 这个舍利弗尊者跟目犍连尊者过后, 修行成就过后, 有一次, 他们僧团们, 大家谈起这些的时候, 也和佛陀谈起这些的时候, 舍利弗尊者跟目犍连尊者呢, 就跟佛陀禀报, 说, 当讲到他来的时候的情况, 要请他的老师来, 他的老师不来, 等等。 讲到这个呢，这个佛陀就念了一个偈子，评述那个状态。因为讲到这个，三加雅，他为了想要做老师，他不愿意来向佛陀求法，佛陀就念了这个偈子 ：Asari saramatino, sari jasara dasino。 Te sarang nadik kacanti, micha sangkapa gocara. Saranja sarato nyatwa, asaranja asarato. Te sarang adik kacanti, sama sangkapa gocara. 那些把非内涵的东西看成是内涵。 把内涵看成不是内涵的人，安住于错的思维，他不会抵达内涵的，不会达到，不会得到真正的内涵。那些把是内涵的看成是内涵的，把不是内涵的看成不是内涵，安住在正思维里，他们达到了。 内涵。 So, after the Venerable Sariputta and Mahamogala and all of them attain Arahantship, and one day they were having a discussion among the Sangha and together with the Buddha, then this Venerable Sariputta and Mahamogalana, they were telling the Buddha about the story about how they came, how they left their teacher Sanjaya to come to the Buddha, and how the teacher Sanjaya refused to come because he wanted to continue to be the teacher. He couldn't be a student again, and he wanted to be the leader of the majority stupid people like that. So at that time, the Buddha recite this verse: Asare saramatino, sare jasaradasino, te sarang nadigacanti, micha sangkapa gocara. Saranja sarato nyatwa, asaranja asarato, te sarang adigacanti, sama sangkapa gocara. Those who mistake the unessential to be essential, and the essential to be unessential, dwelling in wrong thoughts never arrive at the essential. Those who know the essential to be essential and the unessential to be unessential, dwelling in right thoughts, arrive at the essential. What are unessential and what are the essential? The wrong understanding, the wrong, what are essence? First of all, let's discuss about this sara, essence. Essence is like the, you know, the tree. When there's a tree, the outside bugs are not so useful. The essence, that's the center part. Those are really solid and powerful that can be used. Something like that. Essence is something solid, real, useful, beneficial, substantial, important one. These are we call sara. And otherwise, those who are not like that is asara, non-essential. And what are the non-essential things? Mainly, it is this kind of a wrong view, that wrong understanding or the attitude, I mean that the rejection of karma vipaka, that there is this called karma, and this is this thing called karma result, vipaka, karma result. According to the commentary, it is said, though some people say there's no such thing called small dana. You give something to people, well, you give. That's all. But it's not really dana because it won't give you a result. There's no big dana. You give a lot also, there won't be any result. And there's no, you give a lot of, you prepare a lot of things for your special guests. You treat your guests very well. Still, there's no wonderful, no special result for that. And there's no sucharita. Sucharita, there are 10 types of good bodily, good act, bodily, verbal, and mental act. Including starting from non-killing, non-telling lies, not committing sexual misconduct, not stealing, and then the verbal and then the mental. Just briefly mention, they will just say these are not. No greed, non-greed, non-anger, non-wrong view. These are all not going to produce a good result if you keep. You don't kill, you don't steal, you don't commit sexual misconduct, not lying, not harsh speech, not backbiting, not what you call frivolous speech, and then no non-greed, non-anger, not wrong view, etc. You do all these good things, it will not give you good result. There's no good result. These are the asara, wrong, unessential, means the wrong things. And also the ducharita, 10 types of ducharita, you do all the wrong, you do all the killing, the opposite killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, backbiting, harsh speech, frivolous speech, greed, anger, and wrong views. The first one is just now, the one is not wrong view, right view, and this is wrong. Wrong view. Ducharita is wrong view. The sucharita, the last one is right view. So, all these things you commit, but you won't commit. You won't get any result. Good won't get you good, bring you good result. The bad won't bring you bad result. So, these people, they believe in this. This is asara. And there's no father, no mother. No father, no mother, actually, they are trying to say, you serve your mother, you do a lot of good to serve your mother, you do a lot of good to serve your father. That's no benefit. No benefit. You do bad to your mother, you do bad to your father, also no bad result. There's no this world, no other world. No this world means there's no people from other world, born to this world. No such thing. No other beings are from other place, born to this world. I mean, you are here. You are not from somewhere else. And no other world. If you die, you won't be reborn in other places. There's no. Only finish. You die. So no coming, no going, something like that. Not from somewhere and not going to somewhere. And no Buddha, no Arahant. If you practice hard, you purify your mind, no matter how much you work hard, you won't become Buddha, you won't become Arahant. These are the all wrong, wrong understanding. These are all asara, unessential. It is actually is not in English. Unessential means we are not so important. But in this case, it means harmful. Not only unessential. Asara actually means more than unessential. It's actually harmful things. Harmful things. And what are the sara? Sara is sila, samadhi, panya, vipassana, vimutti. Sila, you know, virtues, morality, samadhi, concentration, panya, wisdom, vipassana, you know. And then vimutti, arhata, path. And then vimutti, jnana, dasana, the revealing knowledge for arhata path. And paramatta satcha, here refer to nibbana. There's no such thing. I mean, those who don't believe it, but those who believe it, these are the essence. Those who mistake it, they will say the wrong to be right and right to be wrong. But which is, those who are wise will see these are the essence. The essence, essence of life. Essence means basically essence of truth. Sila, samadhi, panya, vimutti. Sila, virtues, samadhi, concentration, panya, wisdom, vimutti. Freedom. Vimutti, jnana, dasana. The seeing, knowledge. Of seeing this freedom, liberation, paramatta satcha, ultimate truth, here refers to nibbana. These are the essence. Of course, the most important culminates in nibbana, the unborn state, the deathless. So those who mistake asara, those all these wrong things, the unessential one, they take it to be essential, to be important or to be the essence of life, then they will not come to the real essence. Those who take the essence of life to be non-essence, they are these things not important. Sila, samadhi, panya, these virtues, concentration, wisdom, not important. Those who take this as not important, not essential, then because of not taking them as important, not regarding them with respect, with giving them real a position in your mind as they should be, then eventually because of not regarding them correctly, then you will not come to it. So this is the meaning mentioned by this meant by this verse. Number 讲到这个句子里面, 所以讲到那个时候, 佛陀讲到这个念到这个句子的时候，说把非内涵的看成是内涵，把内涵看成非内涵的非重要的那个呢，这个沙拉，那么这样的人呢不会达到真正的内涵，把。 内涵看成是内涵，非内涵看成是非内涵的，那么它会达到真正的内涵的重要的这样。那么这个呢，我们的翻译起来呢就有点困难。可是呢，用它巴利文来讲呢，它就这两个字而已，沙拉跟阿沙拉。阿沙拉呢，我们可以翻译成像是非内涵的东西了，不重要的。那么这要了解这个字呢，我们了解一下它的一个比喻。 沙拉是什么呢？沙拉就好比是一个树的木芯这样子。你看那个木，它外皮是不能做什么，不会有太大的用处，不能见栋梁的。但是它的那个木的中心那个地方是巩固的，很扎实的。所以这个扎实那个内部的就属于沙拉，内涵的。外面那些呢，是不能够拿来做大用途的。所以那个呢，就属于非内涵的。那么在这个著书里面呢。 有讲解的这个阿萨拉的意思，所以阿萨拉就是， 你把那些就是最主要的是这个把这个因果这个业跟业报，业跟业报，他们不相信有业，也不相信有业报，排斥。嗯，他没有说没有所谓的小供养、小布施，没有。但当他否决这个小供养、小布施，就是说他就是非内涵，就是否决小供养、小布施，就是说你做了小供养、小布施，你不会有得到什么果报。啊，接下来就否决大供养、大布施，大供养、大布施也不会有什么果报。然后你照顾了那些客人呢，你好好招待他也没有什么果报，没有什么作用。那么十善，嗯，你不杀生、不偷盗、不邪淫，嗯，然后不妄语、不两舌、不恶口、不绮语，然后不贪、不嗔，还有那个不邪见。这个十善呢，啊，你有了这个善，它也是没有什么果报了，没有什么好东西了，在苏加里达。那么如果有十二，照着十二是相反的，就是杀生、偷盗、邪淫，嗯，妄语、恶口、两舌、绮语、贪嗔，这个邪见，那么这呢也没有什么不好的结果了。然后没有母亲啊，没有母亲就是说，哎呀，你去照顾你的母亲也不用什么，你给他对他好也没有什么好的结果，你对他不好，你伤害你的母亲也没有什么坏的结果。然后没有父亲，你对你的父亲好也没有什么结果，你伤害你的父亲也没有，把父亲杀掉也没有什么坏的结果，没有母亲，没有父亲，这些都是错见的，错见的，危险的，这就是阿萨拉。所以它不只是翻译起来讲没有内涵，其实它不只是，你这样子一了解的话，你发现它不只是非内涵、没有内涵的东西而已，它甚至是有害的东西。一般我们讲没有什么内涵，也不见得有什么害处，可是这个是有害的，这是有害的。没有这个世界，没有下个世界。没有这个世界，他意思就是说，没有人从过去是从哪里别的世界投身到这里了啊？没有，也没有下个，没有另一个世界，就是也没有这里投身到哪里去了啊？这个没有这个世界，没有那个别个世界的，基本上他的解释，这两个加在一起解释就是有这样的意思，就是没有从何处来了，也没有到何处去了，就是死了就是这样子死了，就没有了了。所以这是一种很危险的这个阿萨拉。因为这样子人们造很多恶，然后没有佛，没有阿罗汉，你还用功修行累积什么功德，做什么善事，也没有什么好的了，也不会达到什么好的结果，这个是没有佛，没有阿罗汉。所以这个不只是这个阿萨拉呢，其实是比我们翻译的用的字眼还要严重的多，它不只是说没有内涵而已，你从这样子一解释。所以有些时候我们很需要经典的注疏，现在有人推翻注疏，没有注疏，我们怎么能够了解那个经典里面的那种深奥含义呢？可是现在竟然有人到处散播贬注疏的那种，这个其实这注疏是很崇高的。很多时候我们要了解经典，我们要借用注疏来了解。可是有现在有人很大胆的造恶业，很可怕的。虽然注疏恐怕有些时候我们不敢说用手写下来的东西，有些时候手抄的时候可能出了一点小小的小小的什么问题吧，偏差还是什么，但那些都是看得明白的。基本上就是整体来说呢，注疏里面大部分的东西都一直在教育我们，给我们更深刻的了解经典。要不然我们真的是会很肤浅的了解经典，以为阿萨拉，哎，阿萨拉就是那么不是内涵，也没有什么伤害。可是这个不是内涵，其实它这里指的实在是一直很大的伤害，所以要了解到这一点呢，所以很重要，我们可以深入了解。那么这个沙拉这个内涵重要的是指什么呢？希腊解萨玛蒂定班亚会维穆蒂，是解脱了，翻译成解脱，或者是解放了，自由了。维穆蒂尼亚那达什呢？这个解脱呢，维穆蒂呢是指阿罗汉道。维穆蒂尼亚那达什呢是指那个审查，证了阿罗汉道果过后的出来的那个审查字。巴拉玛达萨加究竟真实法，这里特别是指，这里是指涅槃。巴拉玛达萨加，所以这是内涵。 戒定慧解脱解脱之见还有这个究竟真理就是涅槃所以这个是内涵所以如果我们把一个人把这个错的这些刚才那种否决因果关系的那些错的思维那这些非内涵的或者是可怕的然后在阿萨拉我们把它当成是重要的是内涵的觉得是这样子我们拥护这样的见解的话呢那我们去惨了就会造很多的恶然后就也不会达到什么真正内涵的东西那如果我们把这个内涵界定会解脱解脱之见和究竟真理这个就是涅槃这个我们认为是没有的不真实的假的那么我们也很惨我们也就会把这个我们不会达到这些内涵你要把你要如实的看待它你要在心里给它如实的地位是内涵的你要给它一个如实的地位认可它它是内涵不是内涵的你要给它一个如实的了解它不是内涵这样子的话你才会摆脱这种阿萨拉然后走向这个萨拉所以是这个意思So you see how the commentary help us to understand deeply, more profoundly into the words of the Buddha. The commentary, very important, help us to understand deeply further. Because now we don't have a chance to meet the Buddha face to face, to ask the Buddha to explain further. But those days, those arahants, they were there. They could get the explanation of the Buddha.Face to face. So it's different. So they have a very deep, very profound understanding of the Buddha's teaching. So when they pass down the commentary to us, despite there may be slight, due to copy down of the, in the transmission, there might be slight problem. But generally they help us to understand the teaching of the Buddha so deeply and so profoundly. And yet today you find, so many people are so bold and so daring, they dare to overrule commentary.Saying that this is unimportant. And that actually destroyed a lot of opportunity of people to understand the teaching of the Buddha correctly. You see, we miss a chance. We don't need, now we can't. Now we can't see, meet the Buddha face to face to ask to clarify his teaching, to get the deeper meaning of the teaching. So we need the commentary to help us. The commentary was handed down long ago from the great disciples of the Buddha.And many of the commentary words are actually mainly from the Buddha himself. But people don't want to believe it. They use all the speculation and say Abhidhamma is not true. Commentary. The rule of Abhidhamma. Not only Dvipitaka, two Pitaka. This is wrong view. Very dangerous wrong view. So be careful. And those who commit this karma, very difficult to see the truth. Very, very difficult. And we find people very bold.Using speculation without direct experience, without sufficient meditation, use reasoning alone, they try to overrule commentary and Abhidhamma. Very dangerous, very pitiful, very, very pitiful. So let's watch out and warn us, be careful. The best is if we are not sure, continue to practice.Experience. Let experience tell us what Abhidhamma is. That's more reliable. And let experience tell us whether the teaching of the commentary is really beneficial for our purification or not. Do not speculate like that. Scholars, very strange. They want to believe in their scholars' history, but they don't want to believe in commentary. They believe in historians, but historians also write. They write.But the historian substance are also handed down in books. But they want to believe in historians. But they don't want to believe in commentary. Very strange. Very ignorant. If they meditate enough, if they stop talking too much, and if they come and meditate more, then they will save themselves a lot of bad karma. But because they are so bold, they don't practice enough. And they dare to go all around and circulate their CDs all over.Choosing the teaching of the Buddha is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And please let us, those who want to seek the truth, who want to experience the truth, not be influenced by the ignorant ones. In fact, we must have a lot of compassion for them, thinking that how pitiful they are. If we have a chance, if they are have lenders, willing ears, then maybe let's help them. If they are willing to come and meditate, let's help them. But if they are not, let's leave them. Leave them alone. Don't be influenced by wrong teachings. Very dangerous. It's circulating all around nowadays. All around. CDs are flying everywhere. So let's watch out. This commentary really benefit, help us to have a deep insight into the teaching of the Buddha. We must be thankful. Very simple. Just ask ourselves, are these teachings beneficial for our purification? As long as they are helpful for purification, to purify our greed, anger, delusion in a deeper way, in a deeper, more profound way, we cannot be wrong. We are always on the right track. But if we don't, if anything gives us more corruption, then of course we must put them aside. But so clearly that the commentary helps us to understand the suttas more deeply, more profoundly, help us to meditate more profoundly, deeper, to penetrate reality even deeper and deeper. Then some people come around and say, this is not important, not the teaching of the Buddha. Very strange. I would say, if there are any people wiser than the Buddha can give more profound purification to us, let's take that teaching. No. I think the wiser person must belong, must wiser teaching, more profound teaching must definitely belong to the Buddha. So very simple. Just go by purification, we will be able to justify for ourselves. If we meditate enough. So we must be careful. 只要我们一直看我们自己的进化，只要我们一直进化自己就对了。如果这些住宿的教法能够让我们得到更多的进化，那是很好的，能够让我们体验更深的法，更精深经验更深的法，得到更深的定，那就对了。用经验来证实，很奇怪的就是这些人，他们要相信学者，他们要相信历史学家的研究，学者的研究。 每一个人考一个博士就要出一个博士论文，博士论文一定要写一点新东西，不可以用旧的，所以就是一直出新的学说，这是非常可怕的教育制度，在我们今天佛教圈子里面非常可怕的教育制度，每一个人拿博士要写新的，要出新的理论，然后越来越多新的理论一直冒出来，推翻传统。 他们就好像他们的理论就比较可靠，他们的著述就比较可靠，古老的著述不可靠。其实他们也是在写著述，他们的理论也是一种著述。为什么古老的著述不可靠，他们现代的著述就很可靠呢？他们也在解释经典，为什么不用古老的古人对经典的诠释呢？其实他们是最亲近佛陀的。 由他们来，他们还有机会跟佛陀问，去理解、细细的去理解佛陀的教法，所以由他们传下来那些著述最可靠。很奇怪，很奇怪，小心，因为造下了一大堆法的恶业，那就很难修了，很难修了。所以这点要大家警惕一点。好，那这个弟子。 非常的重要，对我们的禅修实在是非常的重要。你看，多少次我们心里面的伤痛，心里面的苦恼的思维，都因为我们的思维在不关紧要、不重要、非内涵的课题上旋绕。 想跟没完，过去、未来、世俗的一切，我们没有真正的把重要的事情把心投进在重要的地方，所以就是有无止境的杂念，无止境的复杂。要做一个决定，也要看别人怎么看我，别人怎么想。 天天在意一些无关紧要的事，就是忘了最重要的关前的问题。最重要的呼吸忘记了，注意了很多很多。 聪明害死自己。好，会听华语的我送你们一首诗，这是以前我修的，看到自己的小聪明害死自己的时候写来教训自己的一首诗，提醒自己的一首诗。大智若愚，愚何益？意在去掉小聪明，小聪多被小明误，大智若愚愚上情。大智若愚，人家所谓大智若愚是什么意思？就是要去掉小聪明，小聪多被小聪小明误，就是聪明被聪明误了。大智若愚，真的有大智慧的人没关系，傻傻的没关系，人家看我傻我乐意，傻傻的没关系。愚上情，你傻，可是这个不是真傻，这是好像是很傻，可是是很崇尚勤奋，老老实实在因上下功夫，不会在那边狡猾，用狡猾的方法想在果上给自己的修行打荷尔蒙，给自己的修行放生根粉，这些结果是误导自己。我们的修行是 organic 的，有机的，记得你要健康，你要你的修行给你带来真正的好处，要 organic 的修行，有机修行，不要做那种无机修行，真的。有机修行就算老老实实了，注入对的因，可以用善巧，可是那个善巧也要安全的、可靠的、老实的，哦，这一点很重要。So this essence, this verse is very beautiful. In fact, we can also apply it in a more greater context. So often you see in our life, in our meditation, in our spiritual practice, in our monk life and nun life, we neglect the essential. We allow the unessential thoughts to occupy our mind.To obsess our mind, to possess our mind fully. So we become so helpless. We think so much about the past. We think so much about the future. We think so much about how people look at me. We think so much about how the teacher look at me. So I have to write, create a report so that the teacher will look at me. Well, I must present myself.I must make up myself so well so that the teacher will respect me. Instead of coming to present yourself with a naked heart so that they hope the teacher to understand you as you really are, so that the teacher can help you in most efficiently. So often we think, oh, it's better I don't want the teacher to see my dark point.I want the teacher to look on only my bright part, to think good of me. So what is the point of coming to the teacher if you have a desire to fool the teacher? If you don't have a courage to face the teacher with an open heart, what is the point? So we take all the unessential, we have all the unessential scheming, planning, sophistication, and try to mislead the teacher, fool the teacher, or whatever. What is the point? And when you do like that, we will never come to the essential. You don't even understand the purpose of interview. And if we are really, those who you find that those who can present themselves honest, then they really benefit.They come in, they know the most important thing in the interview is to listen. Once the teacher says, oh, okay, I know, that means the teacher understands you, then it's a time for you to listen. What instruction I should remember and bear in mind. But sometimes it comes other way. In fact, the students want to come in and make us the listener. Yes, we also want to be listener to understand your practice. But sometimes just by a few words,Sometimes just by looking at you, we know. So if we tell you stop, we have no time to listen too much. If we want to tell you, then listen. But
very often the teach, sometimes students come in, they report and report and report, then they suddenly find they have no time. They want to quickly go out. So before we have a chance to give instruction, they go out. They bow and go out. So what can we do? You don't know what is important, what is not important. So very difficult. But for those, you know, the majority, I think, basically are doing well. But you can progress more efficiently if you only know what are the essential things, the causes. Work on the causes. Instead of cry over the result, work on the causes. As long as you keep making the right effort, you should be happy knowing that you are doing merits every day. Defilements, craving, anxiety, disappointment never produce purity. Only courage, selflessness, honesty, frank, candor, open heart, loving. All these qualities will bring us towards nearer and nearer to Nibbana. So this is important. So you notice people who are not essential, who do not know what is essential and what is unessential, they always often end up wasting so much thought in the superficial rights and wrong, but forgetting here and now my mind should dwell in wholesome state. So even they may end up very successful in the debate, in getting what is right and wrong, in talking about what is wrong, in convincing other people, but if here and now they spoil their heart, they spoil their innocent and pure heart, the nature heart, nature mind, nature quality, beautiful, pure quality, true heart, then they lose the most important things. Nowadays, people would put in the whole life craving for this, for power, for money, for gains, but they destroy the most important thing, their virtues, their character, their wisdom. Very horrible. While they are trying to, they think they are loving themselves, but they are hating themselves. They do what a hater will do to themselves. So you see, people miss the point. And as a truth seeker, we must not do that. We must not end up like the common fox. We must take the wisdom, follow the advice, the wisdom of the wise. Here we have the Buddha with us, the Buddha's teaching with us. The best, the wisest person is the Buddha, and we should follow, heed the advice of the Buddha. 所以这个是很重要的。 要知道什么是重要，什么不重要，什么是内涵，什么不是内涵，这对我们的修行生命整个生命都很重要。很多时候我们忘了什么重要，我们来修禅，但是我们并没有真正想要进化，我们来是要得到好受，是要得到认同，我们不要老是看到自己的，我们要装饰自己。 希望老师想我好好，把报告捏造一下，拼造一个好好的报告给老师，希望他看我说我好，不要他看到我的缺点，那还找老师干什么？一走进来，出家或者是修行或者是修禅，第一个先决的概念就是我走进来是接受改造。 我解说走进来是要进化，是要提升自己，是要改掉我所有的弱点、缺点、苦因，然后培养善因、快乐的因。所以当我们带着这样了解的时候，我们来不是追求认同，不是要得到好受，我来是要进化。只要你继续的进化，你肯定有好受。可是 如果错了不可以给老师纠正，不可以接受训话，不可以接受训导，那谈什么呢？那是真心追求真理吗？这个很重要。当我们知道，我们知道我们的目的，我们知道什么是生命里面对我们最重要的事情，那我们不会这么想。我们要的是法，不管好受苦受，只要能够得到法，我不跑。这个很重要，不是要来得到认同，是要来学习。走在小，走在小餐室里面，不是最主要学习，不是来发泄。就有些时候学生报告，我们听一下就知道了，听头知尾了，就够了。那要告诉你只是因为时间不多，但是有些时候学生不要，他要讲，他要我们做听众，他不要做听众。讲到了，时间到了，哎，太迟了，我要快出去了。什么指示也没拿到，就顶个雷就跑了，有了，多可惜！你不是来学，你心满了，你是满杯水，一杯满满的水，我们还能够给你倒下什么呢？所以这个很重要，正确的态度，正确的态度，正确的学习态度。你会发现到有正确的学习态度的人，很快就进步。他懂得在因上下功夫，不在果上强求。他老老实实，老老实实。他要的是进化，他不是要得到什么东西，他要的是来进化。因为你只要一直进化，你不要担心，应该有的就会有，应该成熟就成熟。所以这点很重要，要知道什么是真正重要的。那么讲到修行，一个很重要的是那个重要不重要的，是你要懂什么是相关，什么是不相关。你的目的要很清楚，什么跟你的目的相关，什么目的跟你的目的，什么东西跟你的目的不相关啊，这点要懂。什么是有利益，什么是没有利益，什么会导向四圣地八正道，什么不会导向四圣地八正道，这个你一分，你的重要不重要，内涵不内涵就分出来了。然后什么会导向苦的熄灭，什么不会导向苦的熄灭，什么会导向涅槃，什么不会导向涅槃。那当你一分下去，世俗的东西你就开始知道，这些会让你在苦海里面继续的打滚，你会开始注重在出世间灭苦的事，这一点很重要。So, in the practice, you need to know the important things. Basically, we need to know what is relevant to our purpose, what is not relevant, what are not relevant to our purpose. Relevant one, the supportive one, is helpful for us to achieve our aim. Those irrelevant one, not helpful one, will not be beneficial for our aim. What are the things that will lead to Four Noble, our realization of Four Noble Truth? And we know, the Noble Eightfold Path, we know. What are the things that will not help us to experience Four Noble Truth? The wrong path, the eight wrong path. Then we know. And then what will lead to cessation of suffering, what will not lead to cessation of suffering, what will help us to achieve, to realize Nibbana, what will not, will be hindering us from realization of Nibbana. These also we need to know. When we think like that, we think along this line, then very easy. Very soon we will find the answer to ourselves through the teaching of the Buddha, of the teachers, of the meditation teachers. Or even just by some common sense sometimes, we also know anything that corrupts our mind is not going to help us any further, any good. Anything that purify our mind, that's going to be helpful. Anything that contributes to pure happiness, that's good. Anything that contributes to impure happiness, sensual pleasure, that is not good. Very simple. So with that, we will be able to, if we are honest to ourselves,
we'll be able to find the answer, and eventually we'll come to the essence. Ah, yes. I remember a story about a boy who didn't know what is essential. So when the mother told the boy, please take this money, go to the shop, and buy something for me. Then, but make sure, if you want to cross a railroad, please wait for the train to pass first. After the train passed by, then only you cross. Then this boy was very simple. Yeah, okay, I will listen. So he went to the railroad, and no train coming, So he wait until the train come. It was a long time already passed. He was under the sun, so hot. But the train passed. And after the train passed by, he crossed over and buy something. And he went on his return way. Again he wait. Well, no train coming, My mother said, wait for the train to pass. So he waited and waited and waited. And then the train passed. After the train passed, then he crossed and go back to home. That was already evening. Then the mother said, why you take so long to buy something? Well, no train passing, So he asked me to pass. You wait for the train to pass. So I wait for the train to pass. So this is a child who doesn't know what are essential. So you see, this will be the result. If we don't know what are essential, then we always catch a wrong end. And we catch a wrong end, it is harmful to ourselves. This is only wasting time. But if we get a knife, we catch a wrong end, that's very dangerous. And you're going to cut your hand. But even more dangerous than that, if you catch a Dharma by the wrong end, the Buddha said, it's just like catching the snake, not by the neck, but by the tail of a snake. And then the snake will bite you back. In the same way, the Buddha said, those who catch a Dharma wrongly, in fact, using the Dharma as a weapon to show off themselves and then to destroy others, that's going to be very harmful. So we need to know, if we are wise, we need to know the essential and differentiate from unessential. Then whatever that comes to us, we will learn it well. We will benefit. Otherwise, even the most beneficial Dhamma will be harmful to us if we use it to judge others, to blame others, not to help others. So I just thought of a story. This story is about a child. His mother told him, 你来拿点钱孩子你去找我点钱买一点东西给妈妈然后那个妈妈说可是你要小心哦等火车过了你才过那个火车轨上火车过了你才过他讲好的结果他到那火车轨旁边他就在那边等等等怎么火车还没来呢他很焦急火车怎么还没来好终于等到火车来了火车过了他才过 过了对岸买了东西他又回来怎么又没有火车来呢他就等等到大概傍晚的时候终于有一辆火车过了他又再过马路就回到来结果呢他妈妈问他怎么这么久的他说哎呀那火车都没过啊我等了这么久都没火车来我等了火车过我才过嘛那妈妈也没办法 这个孩子要等到火车他不明白等火车过了才过其实是说如果火车来了等火车过了就过不要跟火车争要不然万一有危险他真的是没有火车来他也要等到那个火车来等火车过了他才过他完全不明白等火车过了才过的意思所以这样子的话他根本不知道什么是重要什么是不是重要那个意义那个内涵在哪里他不知道这样子的话呢这个孩子就有问题了 就会过去耽误了自己的那么多的时间如果我们不知道我们学法不知道什么是重要不重要的话那么我们也会错过很多重要的事可是如果来的是一把刀那么我们如果是抓错边抓到刀锋我们就割伤自己的手比抓到刀锋还要可怕的是 法，如果我们用错方法来学法的话，用错心态来学法的话，那就非常危险了。我们用法来批判别人，带着那个攻击的心， 只是为了炫耀自己的知识，不是为了进化，那我们很容易错误误导自己。可是如果我们真心是为了进化，那我们学法肯定是会用对方法的，因为我们学来不是炫耀自己的知识，我们是学来先进化自己的内心，希望自己的心得到更多的清净。所以只要你一直进化，你怎么会错呢？心一直进化，一直进化，还没有体证以前不要忙着教人，懂很确定很肯定的我们才去教，如果我们没有肯定我们不要教，不要忙着贪图做老师。现在有人贪图做老师，享受做老师的荣誉，享受被人伺候，可是自己没有真正的材料，很危险。他们不懂出家不是为了做老师，出家是为了提升自己，净化自己。所以当自己没有亲自的对法没有体证，就要忙着做老师的时候，那忘了出家生命里面最重要的是什么，结果呢就误导自己了，搞不好还造了一大堆的恶业。这点我们要小心，我们来是净化，来学禅是为了净化。所以当一个学生如果他没有这个正确的态度的话，我甚至不急着要他进步，我要他先把态度建立正确为止，不然的话又是忙着要去炫耀自己得到什么又得到什么，那是非常可怕的，搞不好会变成像提婆达多一样的。有些人是忙着搞运动，搞这个运动搞那个运动，都不是为了进化。进化的学生很简单的，看看现在当下的心清净吗，明亮吗？如果现在的心清净明亮，那么再去思考问题还有虽然还是可能犯错，但至少对的可能性还多一些。可是当别人走上街头去示威抗议上报做这些行为的时候，他们都忘了在他这样做的时候心里有多少的焦虑挣扎。一个焦虑挣扎的心你怎么可以信任他呢？怎么也应该等他平静超然的时候，无我的时候，那么再去想东西。可是人们都没有这种，现在很多人都在做错误的事情，就在今天都在发生的。可是如果我们记得我们走进佛门是为了什么，不是为了钱财，不是为了道场，不是为了财物，不是为了荣誉，是为了净化。做老师也只能够有一个目的，慈悲。如果除了慈悲以外还有别的目的，那就非常的危险。可是有很多人要提升自己做老师，非常的可怕。So it is very important for us to know what is essential. Those who know what is essential, they will not lose themselves. They will not go astray in the spiritual search. They will remember all these are meant for our purification, for realization of truth, not for showing off, not for becoming teacher, not for enjoying glory. What for? We come, all the sacrifice,It's only meant for purification. But sometimes when gain comes to us, if we are not careful, we fall into it. We go for name and fame and gain. It's very dangerous. Even today, people are acting funny. Going for protest this and protesting that. Without knowing that, by doing that, they did not check their mind. At that particular moment of protest,Is the mind pure? If the mind is not pure, how can you trust it? How, if the mind, if the feeling is not calm, how can you trust your judgment? You cannot. Even when the mind is pure, even when the feeling is good, still we may not fully trust our judgment because we may have pure attitude, but we may not have penetrative ability to see things as they really are.Still, we need to be careful. So what more to say when the feeling is corrupted? When the mind is impure, Do not judge. Let the mind calm down first. Do not protest. Let the mind calm down first. Unfortunately, now there are people out there suffering greatly because they don't understand the purpose of coming to the Buddhism, coming to the Buddha's teaching. Because of that, they fall into wrong falsehood. Very dangerous. If we are honest to ourselves, if we are sincere towards Dhamma, towards Buddha Dhamma Sangha and teacher, and we will definitely care about our here and now, our mind. That's very important. So in the practice, when we are practicing meditation, anapana, know that other people's practice are not important. Our own practice is important for ourselves. Don't go around and bother about other people's practice. And also knowledge. Knowledge also must come in a timely manner. No need to copy other people's instruction. If you apply the instruction in the wrong time, you may also get problem. Certain instructions are meant for that person at that time only. So some students, they go and copy. They hear other people, overheard other people's meditation instruction, they also try to copy. But it is not. It must be timely. So the teacher will decide. So this is good. And past and future is at the time, for the time being, unless you go into see past life and future life. Otherwise, for the time being, for Anapanasati, it is not so important. The present is important. And then the lights happening around, those are not so important. The lights that merge with your breath, that is important. The unstable lights are not important. The stable nimitta, stable not here, merge, that's important. How people think we are, that's not so important. Whether we are really righteous, following the Dhamma, that's important. In one way, where we are is also not so important. In what direction we move, that is important. Of course, to know how to start, how to move on, we need to know where we are. But where we are already here. Why bother? You cry over it, also no good. You say, you complain, well, my practice is no good. But no good, not beneficial. Where you are already there. It doesn't matter where we are. It is in what direction we are moving, that's important. As long as now I'm purifying my mind, this moment, I'm purifying my mind. This is most important. This moment, I don't dwell in anxiety, I don't dwell in disappointment, sorrow. I let my mind dwell in wholesome state. That's important. Okay, it is very important that yogis set their priority, the sense of importance. Correct. Huh? 所以在修禅的时候呢，我们要知道什么重要，什么不重要，什么是内涵，什么不是内涵。别人的修行不重要，对我们来说不重要。除了是如果是修得好，是我们随喜的那个因缘，这样。可是没有什么，我们自己的修行我们要关注，看自己的心。那么只是也要来得契时。所以如果你去背别人的指示，不契时的指示，那也是不重要。 只是要契时机，刚好在你的阶段，在你的这个时候重要，那就重要了。用得上，那个才重要。过去跟未来，除了将来观过去式和未来式以外呢，这个那么基本上的过去和未来是不重要。可是这个我希望下的，我也请求下的，在这方面给大家一个更完整的讲解。不过有看有没有机会。所以关于到过去未来和这个现在的。 那么现在很重要，当下很重要。那么周围所散布那出现的那个光明不重要，跟我们的呼吸融合的那个光，那个才重要。不稳定的光不重要，稳定的光明、稳定的成像，那个才重要。然后别人怎么想，我重要想我好想我不好，那个不重要。重要是我是否真正有这个有清净界啊，有内涵啊，有法啊，这个才重要。 我在哪儿并不重要，我正往那里走比较重要。当然，从一方面来讲，我们要往那里走，我们也知道需要知道我们在哪儿。这就是为什么你需要一个老师来指引你，因为
有些时候你不会知道你自己在禅修的领域上在哪一个阶段，老师才会知道。整本清净道论这么厚，你不知道要现在要用的是什么，那么来到老师面前，一切都变成简单，你只做老师所做的，教你做的，那就可以了。所以那个是这样。可是除此之外呢，你现在在哪里？你已经在哪里了？你去苦恼啊，我现在还没有上禅定，我现在怎样怎样，我现在有很多障碍，你去苦恼只有更增添障碍，没有什么重要。重要的是现在你要怎么样的进化，怎样的走下去，你正在朝往的方向是光明还是黑暗。所以我们在哪里并不真的那么重要，更重要的是我们正往那里走，这个不是活在未来，这个是让我们更清楚地掌握我们的方向。已经倒在地上的那个牛奶已经不重要，重要的是怎样把它磨干，然后把杯子洗干净，快快地再出发，这个比较重要。所以如果我们有这样的心，我们就能够把很多修行上的障碍排除了。那么还有一样东西很重要的，在修行的时候，就是这个心的倾向。我要跟你们分享，顺便也跟你们分享这个一句佛陀的话。Yanya deva bhikkhave bhikkhu anuvitakketi anuvicharetiYanya deva bhikkhave bhikkhu bahulang anuvitakketi anuvicharetitatha tatha nati hoti cetasso。 比丘们呢，佛陀说，一个比丘如果他常常很多很多的以很属圣的这个 Vitaka Vijara 是寻思，其实有些时候也反也讲成思维，就是心一而寻跟思，那个禅知啦，你们知道寻思。可是这里是心一直在投入，那个心一直在投入在某一方面，那么他的心久而久之就会倾向于那一方面，靠向那一方面。这个很重要。所以有些时候你觉得很难，可是只要你一而再的用这个很属圣的很清净的这个寻思，一而再投向你的目标，久而久之心就会倾向于它。如果从思维的层次也是这么样，你常常去想啊，想无常苦我，想诸法因缘生诸法因缘灭，想起世间有种种的生老病死，想着死亡之后终会来临，那么久而久之心就会起离执心，放下就成了一件很容易的事，很快乐的事。你想你喜欢修行，喜欢净化，喜欢行善，那么不知不觉久而久之心就会倾向于这一切善法，倾向于戒定慧。所以不要急，如果说我们过去很多很多事累积了很多错误的习气，但是这个是希望，如果我们看到我们的心一而再的导向于善法，倾向于善法，我们的心就会慢慢的导向这个方向，就倾向于这个方向，那么我们就有希望。我们只要这么做，我们就有希望，我们的心最终有一天会战胜自己的弱点。可是如果我们不愿意这么做，那就没有办法了。所以这个心的导向倾向善用这个寻思很重要，寻心一而再导向目标，心一而再的思，心一而再的贴近目标，摩擦那个目标，贴着那个目标，在那个目标上萦绕，这样，这个很重要。So one more thing important for our practice is I want to share with you the Pali verse Yanya deva bhikkhave bhikkhu bahulang anuvitakketi anuvicareti tatha tatha nati hoti cetasso。What a person, but it's translated like that, What a person reflects and ponders upon for a long time, to that his mind will bend and incline. Basically, the Pali, anuvitaka, anuvichara, high, good quality of this vitaka vichara, those who get jhana, this is the mind, application of mind and sustained application of mind. the mind apply on the object and continuously. But in a grosser level, it also covers, on a grosser level, it also covers thinking. So because when we think, we actually apply our mind and sustain our mind on the object. So if we develop a lot of pure and wholesome, good vitaka vichara, we contemplate on the Dhamma, incline on our mind towards the Dhamma, then naturally all the wrong tendency, wrong habits can be transformed. So this gives us hope, you see. No need to blame ourselves, well, I have bad habits, my mind cannot do like that, my mind likes to wander. But if we keep inclining our mind in that direction, trying to transcend useless thoughts, replace unwholesome thoughts with wholesome thoughts, and eventually replace no silence, no thoughts, with thought. No, replace thought with no thought, sorry. Replace no thought. Replace thought, wholesome thought. Replace wholesome thought with no thought, no thinking. Then eventually our mind incline from unwholesome thought to wholesome thought and then to no thought, silence of mind. Then we are getting nearer and nearer to our goal. So no need to feel discouraged. If we keep inclining our mind, eventually we'll come to the right destination. So by now, we have talked about the power of simplicity, mainly through renunciation, through living in the here and now, through understanding conditioning, through concentrating on the relevance, concentrating on the causes, making the right effort, not be bothered by result. Of course, we want good result, but we don't attach. Then we invoke the power of simplicity by relying on the higher wisdom, having faith in the teacher. Then being obedient, we save ourselves from a lot of follies, which can be due to our ignorance. Then the path becomes simple. Instead of using our own ignorance and turn around and think like this, think that, they think like that, and try to be cunning and scheming and planning, if you only listen to the teacher and using the invoking the higher wisdom, the Buddha's wisdom, we simplify, we shorten our journey towards real happiness, that'd be very good. And then we also talk about the power of despair, taking what is possible as possible, what is impossible as impossible, accepting the reality of life that make us simplify our mind without dwelling on useless things, without dwelling on impossibilities. Then we save ourselves a lot of unnecessary effort. And then by dwelling on reality of impermanent suffering and non-self, we come to let go of all the unwholesome, all the useless things, and then give up hopes on what is actually hopeless and place hopes on what is actually hopeful, then we have a lot of pure courage and channel our energy fully into the useful aspect, and then we will make a most efficient strive. And by concentrating on the essential and neglecting the unessential, we pay a work on the useful things, relevant things, beneficial things, then you become, whole journey all become very simple. The journey towards truth become very simple. Our meditation also become very simple. Our decision making also become very simple. 所以现在到现在为止呢，在我们的讲座里已经讲过了这个单纯的力量。 如何通过处离心放下，我们活得单纯；如何通过活在当下，我们让我们的心更单纯化。我们让通过了解缘起，至少在思维层次，多想因缘生因缘灭， 诸法因缘生，诸法因缘灭，都要在因上下功夫。那我们让我们的心更单纯，通过让自己多一点快乐，清净的快乐，我们更单纯。通过对老师有信心，让更高的智慧引导我们，而不是自己在绞尽脑汁，让自己的无明和无知在那边给自己做一大堆错误的决定和判断。我们对导师如果有信心，那让导师的智慧引导我们；我们对佛陀有信心，让佛陀的智慧引导我们，那我们可以少犯很多的过失，更有效的做出更有效的奋斗。那么通过绝望的力量，我们对应该绝望的事感到绝望，对不可能的事情感到绝望。比如说你要更改一个过去，那肯定是不可能，你应该对这个已经发生了的不可纠正的东西，不可改变的真事实接受它，那本身就会让心单纯，在那边绞尽脑汁就复杂了。那通过绝望的力量，我们不再抱着虚假的不真实的希望，我们对可能的事情抱着希望和信心，那么我们就会能够好好的奋斗。然后我们也讲了这个整个修法的过程，实在是要让我们看清生命的真相，然后放下虚假的虚幻的期盼，那么让我们的心绝望，对不应该绝望的绝望。生命是无常苦厄的，无蕴是无常苦厄的，内外有情无情世间也是这样的。那么我们不再抱有那种恒常乐或者是有我的这个期望，那么这样呢，我们就会放下很多复杂的思维。那么通过专注在内涵的重要的，放下非内涵不重要的，我们让我们的心一而再导向内涵，倾向于内涵，这样也能够让我们的心继续的进一步的单纯化。突然间想到一个我小时候大概4岁的时候所听到的故事，这个可能也会给大家一点小的帮助吧。我大概是4岁的时候我就听到这个故事，我的母亲她跟我说，孩子啊，你知道那个青蛙为什么下雨天总在那边呱呱呱呱叫吗？我讲到底是什么原因呢？我讲个故事给你听。那个小青蛙它有个小青蛙，它就是一直都不听它母亲讲什么呢，它就专门做相反的事情，叫它做这个它就偏偏要做相反的事。那有一天它母亲要死了，他就想，哎呀，我的孩子啊，总是给我做相反的事情啊。那么如果呢，我叫他把我葬在山上，他一定会把我葬在河边啊。那，哎呀，不行，叫我说心跟他讲，我要葬在河边啊，你把我葬在河边，那么他就会把我葬在山上，那就对了，不要下雨的时候就给水淹到我的尸体，这样子。结果他就跟孩子讲，孩子啊，你把我的这个死，我死后啊，你就妈妈死后啊，你就把妈妈葬在河边了。好，这孩子想，到母亲真的死了，他想，哎呀，我将久都没有好好的听母亲的话啊，这一次呢我一定要听了啦，不听我太对不起了，我母亲死了我都没有好好听她的话。他就把母亲尸体葬在河边，结果一葬在河边呢，每次下雨他就哎呦惨了，那个雨水那个河水涨起来淹到妈妈的尸体，我太对不起妈妈了。他明白他妈妈跟他讲反话，他就一直很伤心，每次下雨他就很伤心，就在那边呱呱叫的。所以呢我妈妈就讲，孩子啊，我妈妈每次都叫我乖仔的，广东话乖仔是乖孩子的，他从来没有叫我别的，都是在他的心里呢我永远是乖仔的乖仔，你啊以后你要听妈妈的话啊，不然的话呢以后呢妈妈死了你再来后悔就来不及了。那时我心想啊，是，所以从那时开始呢就不敢这样叛逆所以啊，你们如果是叛逆的话呢，有一天呢班爹去了喜马拉雅山，你才想起我讲的话，你想哎呀极可惜，极可惜，不过我不想跟你讲反话了我不会叫你去看头顶了，我叫你看呼吸了要不然的话
可是你们就是要去看东看西，看东看西，所以听了啊，不听的话呢，自己吃亏是自己的哈。So I just happen to remember a story that I share with you. When I was about 4 years old, I heard this story from my mom. So my mom was saying that my son, my dear, my faithful and obedient son. My mother always called me 乖仔乖仔 乖 means faithful and obedient. She never in her mind, I'm forever faithful and obedient. Even so, sometimes maybe mischievous, but I don't know my mother's, in my mother's eyes, I'm forever faithful and obedient. So all of you call me 乖仔 乖 in Cantonese means faithful and obedient. So faithful and obedient son. Do you know why the frog always cry? When it rains, makes so much noise when it rains. I say, well, I don't know, please tell me. He said, there once, long, long ago, the earlier generation of the frogs, it was like this. This little frog, always do the opposite things when the mother tell, whatever the mother tell, always do the opposite things. So this time, when the mother is about to die, the mother say, well, my son always do the opposite things. I want to be buried up in the hill so that when it rains, it would not be covered by water. But my son always do the opposite things. Now I must tell my son opposite words. So that if I tell him to bury me near the river bank, then surely he will go to the top of the hill and bury me. So this time the mother said, now my mother is about to die. Please, when I die, you bury me near the river bank. So when the mother actually died, then this son think, well, I've never been faithful to my mother. I always do the opposite things. Now my mother passed away, So for this, at least now, I want to be obedient. So my mother asked me to bury her at the riverbank. So let me bury her at the riverbank. And then every time when it rains, the water river comes higher. So the water was flooding, covered the tomb or so whatever the place the burial place of this the mother frog. So this little frog start to realize, oh, what a mistake I made because of not being faithful to my mother. My mother made an opposite instruction to me, and this time by being faithful, I also caused more problem. So I made the wrong decision, and so every time when it rains, all these frogs cry. So make a lot of noise. So this is a fable, but my mother told me, please, son, please don't do the opposite things that mother tell you. Otherwise, one day you will definitely regret. So from that time onwards, I was always faithful and obedient to my mom. So that's very important. When the teacher is around, when the teacher tells you something, please listen. If you are rebellious, you will regret. When your teacher goes to Himalaya, you will regret. Really. So this is just with this, we sincerely want to help you. Whatever we do, even when we scold you very sternly, very fiercely, that's with a pure heart, with compassion only. So don't do the opposite things. We know better than you that what is the clearest way towards less suffering and more happiness. But if you want to go by your own way, what can we do? You only suffer more only. So that's very important. So with that, I wish you all have a most efficient strive, and may you all realize Nibbana. So, 希望我们都是真心做老师的，都是希望学生好。即使是给你很严厉的训导，都只是激发你而已，没有诚心的，我们都是要你好，只是有些时候不行，太久太久不行，那么等太久了，就试试看敲了还是什么。可是都是真心为了你们好的，所以希望你们呢能够珍惜这些劝导，愿你们呢都能够做最有效率的奋斗，愿大家最终都能够提升涅槃。让我们回想 sharing of memories。Itavata jamehi sambadang punya sambadang sambe deva anumodantu sambha sampati sindhya Itavata jamehi sambadang punya sambadang Sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampati sindhiya ittavata ca amehi sampadam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampati sindhiya yadame nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyateyo yadame nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyateyo yadame nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyateyo imina ponya kammena mame bala samagamo Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya idam me punya asava kaya vaham hotu idam me punyam nibbanassa paccayo hotu mama punya bhagam sabba sattanam bhajema te sabbe me samam punya bhagam labantu sadu sadu sadu